This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In one of the greatest shooting displays ever, the eighth-seeded Villanova Wildcats upset the one-seeded Georgetown Hoyas, who were defending national champs. And in their third national championship game in 4 years with Patrick Ewing and John Thompson, and the eighth-seeded Wildcats were national champs. An assistant coach on that staff under Raleigh Massimino is our friend Steve Lapis, and he joins us this morning on the show. Steve, good morning. How are we doing?
I'm doing great, DA. How are you?
It's always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. And, you know, under uncertain times, it's nice to go back and feel nostalgic and wistful. And that 1985 season does it every single year. What are your favorite memories about the lead up to the NCAA tournament?
Well, you know, for me, it was very strange, DA, because, you know, it was my first year on the staff. I was a high school coach the year before that. So, I mean, think about this. I go from being a high school coach, and I remember having a party in my, we lived in Jackson Heights, Queens, and we had a little apartment there, and we used to invite our friends all the time for the Final Four to watch. And so we had a party that year, and I remember saying to everybody who was there, boy, what I wouldn't give to have a ticket to go to a Final Four. I'd never been, obviously. I was a young guy. And the next year, I'm sitting on the bench. So, you know, for me, the whole experience, still to this day, 35 years later, very, very surreal.
What type of personality was Raleigh Massimino? I mean, he jumped off the television screen as such a character. What was he like behind the scenes?
He was a big personality, there's no doubt, and he was a tremendous basketball coach, and he was a guy who, I mean, he was the basis for everything that I ever did in my career, and what a lot of his former assistants did in their careers. You know, he based everything on being family, and he was everybody's father, not just the players. He was the assistant coach's father also, so he was a big-time father figure. That's how he ran things. And he was a strict father. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, the kind of father that even like my dad was, who came here from Greece and was a Greek immigrant, who was very tough, but you always knew he loved you. So you never questioned that. And it was the same thing with him. Tough, you knew he loved you. Tremendous teacher and an unbelievable basketball coach, especially on the defensive end.
Steve Lapis joins us. In his first year on the Villanova staff, they marched all the way to a national championship in 1985. Let's talk about the Big East at that time, because the Big East was formed about 5 years earlier and had become an absolute monster, so much so that you had in this Final Four Georgetown, St. John's, and Villanova, all from the Big East, marching all the way to the Final Four in Lexington, Kentucky. What was the season like to make it through the gauntlet of such teams like those, like Syracuse, on and on and on, of these powerhouses nationally?
Well, you're right. And people don't realize Boston College that year, who was in the Big East, lost in the Elite Eight. Or we'd have had four teams in the Final Four.
Wow.
So, I mean, and that people forgot about that along the way. And that was one of Gary Williams' really good teams. So, you could have had four teams in the Final Four. The Big East Championship game with St. John's against Georgetown was 1-2 in the nation playing for a conference championship. So the league was unbelievable. But, you know, we didn't have a great regular season. You know, we thought, Coach Massimino thought we'd be better. We had three guys back from a team that had played in Elite Eights a couple of times. Eddie Pinckney was one of the best centers in the country. Ended up being an NBA player. Harold Presley, Dwayne McClain. These guys were big-time players who had been there before, and we didn't have a great season. To be honest with you, so we the last game of the regular season, we're playing Pitt on CBS, and we are getting torched at halftime. And Coach Massimino comes in the locker room, and he says, I'll give you guys 4 minutes. After 4 minutes, if you're not playing the way I want you to play, you're out for the rest of the game. This is a nationally televised game. And understand this. In 1985, a nationally televised game on CBS was huge because it wasn't like nowadays where there's a zillion games on TV. Not that CBS games aren't big now. They're huge. They're still happenings. But then it was ridiculous happening. And those guys didn't play well, and he took them out. He had the subs, walk-ons in the game for 15 minutes on national TV. He didn't care. So we struggled at the end of the year. St. John's beat us three times that year, and we couldn't even get close to Chris Mullin. They beat us pretty good three times also. So it was not a great regular season, but all of a sudden, caught lightning in the bottle, win that first game at Dayton, which was a really close game. We went basically at the buzzer, and all of a sudden, the roll starts, and boom, there you go.
You were the 8 seed going into the NCAA tournament. You beat the 9 seed Dayton 51-49 in Dayton. And then you move on to the second round against the 1 seed Michigan, usually where the winner of the 8-9 ends up ending their season. Instead, you survive against the Wolverines 59-55. Then, in the next round, Sweet 16, again a one-possession game, you survive 5-seeded Maryland 46-43. Three games and three not quite buzzer beaters, but really tight games at the end. What's it feeling like going into the Elite Eight after three nail biters?
Well, you know, the thing that we were doing was we held, like, in those three games, I believe we held two of those three teams under 40% from the field. So defensively, we were playing unbelievable. We had experienced guys. And that Dayton game was so big because in those days, there was no clock. They had a really good coach named Don Donaher. They were holding the ball. It was like a minute to go in the game. They're holding the ball for the last shot of the game on their home floor. And we make a steal, and we end up scoring basically at the buzzer. And all of a sudden, you see it happen all the time. A team gets through a game they might lose, and all of a sudden, boom, the confidence is there, the role is there, and all of a sudden you get on this, you get this thing going. And, you know, beating that Michigan team, I believe, had won 17 games in a row. Roy Tarpley, Antoine Joubert, Gary Grant. I mean, it was a tremendous basketball team. Beat them. Then we played Len Bias for the second time in that season. And it was the only game, I believe, that Len Bias was under double figures in his career at Maryland. And all of a sudden, now we're playing North Carolina to go to the Final Four.
Did you think that Len Bias, having played against him, was the slam dunk superstar that so many thought he was going to be before he passed away tragically after the draft?
Absolutely. And we played him three times. We played him twice that year, and they came to us at Villanova and opened our pavilion the next year. We opened the pavilion in February of 86. And he played us, we played them in the first game there. So we played him three times. He was an unbelievable player. This guy was a superstar. It's obviously a tragic thing that happened. But, he was going to be, I believe, one of the all-time greats.
Steve Lapis joins us this morning here on the show, looking back at the 85 National Championship. So after all these close games, you end up playing UNC in the Elite Eight, and you kind of blow them out. I mean, you beat them by 12 points, a double-digit win over the 2-seeded UNC Tar Heels, which sends you into the Final Four. Now, again, you're the 8 seed in the Final Four. The other guys left are number 1 or number 2 seeds. You end up playing the 2-seed Memphis State at that point in time in the Final Four. At this point, now that you're in the final weekend, have you guys even forgotten that you're an 8 seed, or is this a rallying cry?
No, I don't remember us really, you know, feeling like we were underdogs ever. You know, we played in the toughest league in the country. We played Georgetown to 2 one-possession games that year. These guys, before I had gotten there, they had beaten Patrick Ewing in Georgetown. When you play in a league like the Big East, where every day you're playing against basically a top 20 team, you know, you're not looking, and you win enough games. You've won games in that league. you're not going into any of these games feeling like you can't win. And we didn't go into not one. I'd say we probably felt the least confident against Michigan is probably if I had to go back and think about it. But we felt like, hey, if we could play with Georgetown, who was, by the way, if they beat us that year in 85, that would be two in a row. People would have considered them one of the best teams in the history of college basketball. That's what they were doing historically at that time with Patrick. So when you play against guys like that all the time, you're not afraid of anybody.
So that's really interesting because you end up beating the Tigers 52-45. That sets up this matchup against Georgetown. Georgetown would be in its third national championship game in 4 years, all with Ewing. They had won the national championship the year before over Phi Slamma Jamma. So they are, I mean, monsters. They are as big as the sport could possibly have, and Patrick Ewing is as big as the sports star could ever have as well. Is it particular to your upset that you had played them already? In other words, had you played the Big West or the Pac-10 or something like that and never seen them, would it have been a totally different outcome?
No, I don't know if the outcome would have been different, but I could tell you, we definitely, having played them and having been in the same, here's what I'll tell you. If Georgetown had played somebody different, they'd have definitely won the whole thing. If they'd have played somebody from outside the league, there's no doubt that the intimidation factor would have been huge. That was gone with us. And that's and the thing about Georgetown, and people forget, Patrick Ewing was, if you ask me, who are the best college basketball players of all time? I'm going Kareem first, Bill Walton second, and guess what? Patrick is right there at third for what he accomplished in his college career. He was a defensive presence like we had never seen before. So, I mean, that Georgetown team was holding people to like 34% field goal percentage. If they'd have played anybody else in the country, they would have been national champions without a question. They ended up playing a team that knew them well, wasn't intimidated, had a guy like Eddie Pinckney, who was a sophomore. When they played against Georgetown, I was not there at the time, had 22 points and 20 rebounds against Patrick Ewing. So these guys, they weren't intimidated. And the lack of intimidation against Georgetown really hurt Georgetown.
The game by you guys in 1985 is sometimes referred to as the perfect game because it was almost like you couldn't miss. Now, defensively, as you said, Georgetown was shutting down everybody. How did you guys have a solution to be that efficient from the field against one of the best defensive teams in college basketball and with the best rim protector in Patrick Ewing that we had seen in decades?
Well, you know, the thing about our team was, and the thing about Coach Massimino's teams were, they were very smart, and we were a possession-by-possession team. And I know people talk about the fact there was no shot clock. We would have had, if the 45-second shot clock came in, I believe, the next year, we'd have had no shot clock violations in that game. So we didn't hold the ball for over 45 seconds on any possession in that game. So we were a possession team. We were very, you know, Coach Massimino called every single play. But the key was what we did defensively. Yes, we played great on offense. We did turn the ball over a little bit, but, you know, we go 9 for 10. We only take 10 shots in the second half and make 9 of them. Mm. So, I mean, when you and I look back, and they're going to show the game on CBS this weekend. I'm going to watch it again. I mean, some of the shots that we made were incredible, but it really was the defense. And we were thankful. I'll tell you one thing we were thankful. We were thankful that we played Georgetown instead of St. John's. And people will say, yes, absolutely, because Coach Massimino was a matchup zone guy. And Georgetown, for if they had a weakness, it was they were not a great perimeter shooting team. So that played to us. St. John's had Chris Mullen. And Chris Mullen, obviously, he was a lot more than just a great shooter, but he was so hard to match up with in a matchup zone that he just torched us 3 times. So we were much better off playing Georgetown. And because it was a good matchup for Coach Massimino, because he knew we could pack this thing in and challenge them from the perimeter, and rebound the ball, which obviously is always big with them, play slow, not hold the ball, but play slow. And, it had worked before, and it worked that night.
You can relive the greatest upset in national championship game history, the 8th-seeded Villanova Wildcats in 85, toppling mighty Georgetown this weekend on CBS, because we don't have a tournament. And so I want to ask you, Steve Lapis, as you've been a longtime broadcaster for the CBS family, what's it been like for you this month to not have the tournament?
Boy, it's been brutal. Obviously, we have a lot more serious things to worry about. than not having college basketball. But, I was walking, went for a walk with my wife and my daughter. My daughter just had a baby about 7 weeks ago, so they're all here, which is nice. And, we're seeing the flowers blooming, and this is supposed to be NCAA tournament. The weather's getting warm, and you walk outside, and boom, you feel great because the tournament is going on. So, it's definitely something. I'll tell you this, we will really, really appreciate this thing next year like I can't tell you. And that's what I'm looking forward to. And that's, we just got to get through this now, do what we have to do. And next year, I'm usually fired up. I'll be even more fired up.
I know. It's such a void, isn't it? I mean, for you and I who love college basketball, certainly there's a void. Your life has been in college basketball. But I just think also from the soundtrack of our lives, just even you're a casual sports fan, brackets, office pools, leaving work early to go watch games, upsets at night, watching buzzer beaters, all of that not being here is such an eerie feeling, isn't it?
That especially that last Thursday and Friday, which would have been the first – Not yesterday, but a week ago, that Thursday and Friday, that would have been the first 2 days of the tournament. Those are like the best days in sports all year. And, for me, the thrill that I have being part of it now that I'm able to broadcast it for CBS and Turner is really, it's a thrill for me. And it's been, a big part of my life in terms of, I coached at the highest level. Now I get to broadcast at the highest level. So it's a thrill for me to be doing it, but boy, what a void for the whole country. And, and then you look at, obviously, I'm a college basketball guy. Yesterday was supposed to be opening day in baseball. And it's just really, we got to get through this, get back to normal, and everybody will really appreciate it. But I did want to throw one thing in, D.A. We shot 79% that night against Georgetown. Remember this. We shot 79%, and we won by two.
They shot nearly 80% and won by a bucket. One of the greatest upsets ever in national championship game history and NCAA tournament history. Steve Lapis was an assistant coach on that 1985 Villanova Wildcats team. Coach, it's always fun to talk basketball with you, pick your brain, and really cool to go down memory lane with you today, man. Thanks so much, and stay safe to you and the family.
You too, DA. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.